This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Thoughts Becoming Things podcast. I am so glad that each one of you decided to join us today for this exciting weekly podcast. And I tell you, we're already in the month of August. It's crazy to think we're in August of 2017. You know, any day now, I feel like it's going to be Christmas time. And I'm a huge Christmas fan. Like, I mean, I tell you, in my house, we blow up with Christmas trees. Like I said before, I love Christmas with a passion. And it's just time is flying by so much. Have you noticed? I think the old saying is true that time flies when you're having fun. And I think life should be fun. Life should be exciting. Life should be something that is so adventurous that you engage in it and you enjoy it. And also I want to say this, give yourself a hand today because, you know, I know each and every one of you tune into so many podcasts or television shows or listening to speakers or teachers or preachers, and you're all very selective in certain people and certain groups that you tend to connect with. So we could say like attracts like, because you know that there's something with in these podcasts or these people or these teachers or preachers that tend to speak life to you, tend to speak volume to you because you feel like it's substance. It's something you can really take home with you and really begin to utilize and begin to take that knowledge and knowing that it's going to change your life and change your whole entire world. You know, the old saying of change your thoughts, change your life is so true that when you change your thoughts, your whole entire life will change. And, you know, I think of so many people that listen to doom and gloom preachers or, you know, doom and gloom people around them or very negative people that have a lot of negative energy. And you know, when you hang around people like that, it's going to affect you, folks. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. It is going to affect you. And that's why we like to focus on the good news. You know, the good news. Now, once again, do we bury our head in the sand and just ignore the life's challenges and the things that come our way, you know, in life? Absolutely not. In fact, we more than anyone take it head on, do we not? Think about that. We take our heads out of the sand and we challenge the negative in our lives. We challenge the things in our lives that we know the enemy has thrown at us, or we know that something within our life is just not conducive to the perfect will of God or that place that we really want to be. And so we more than anything take the gospel, the good news, and we challenge the system of negativity. We challenge the system of the do's and the don'ts, and we quit eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, in the book of Eden. You know, when we're looking at the Garden of Eden, as far as the book of Genesis, I should say, when we're looking at the book of Genesis and we see the Garden of Eden, recognizing there are two trees in that garden. And those two trees, what, are the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And yet, for thousands of years, humanity has been feeding off of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I remember doing teaching on this years ago, and yet people really don't tend to pay attention to detail when it deals with these two trees. Because we're never called to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We live in a world where it exists, but what God wants us to eat from is the tree of life, because He is the life. And so, knowing that, we have to remember, it's not about do's and don'ts, and what's rated G, what's rated R, you know, or all this other mumbo-jumbo stuff. What we need to do is transcend past. We're called to transcend past the good and evil. Transcend past the do's and don'ts, and begin to birth forth with life. And when we really look at the scriptures and the gospel, and sort of making my intro here for today's message, you know, or something I want to share with you guys today, when we look at, you know, Jesus and we realize that He says, you know, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, we realize that it's the life He focuses on. You know, He didn't say, I'm the way, the truth, the do's, and the don'ts. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Because life is what we're supposed to eat from, and life is what we're supposed to give away. And there are many people ask me, you know, how come I can't tend to attract to my life what it is that I'm thinking? And I said, well, first of all, it's not a robotic way of living in the sense of you just, like a robot, just think this and it just happens in your life. It's a lifestyle change, for one. It's a processing change of understanding what you're processing and how you're processing it and how you're you're carrying something out, you know, by and through your experience. And most importantly, you've got to quit eating from that tree. You've got to start eating from the tree of life. Because if you're still eating from a double-mindedness mentality and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but yet knowledge is good, but yet in the sense of we need to learn knowledge, but yet knowledge, the Bible says, can also puff up. And so it's not about, you know, the good and the bad and the do's and the don'ts and, you know, don't do this and don't do that. I remember the other day, and I'll get into what I'm going to share here in a minute. I remember the other day we received an email from a very nice lady, I'm sure, you know, to our ministry, and she was talking about the homeopathic, you know, things we have on the website, and oh, she was adamant about, nice about it though, but she was adamant about letting us know that, you know, they do spells and witchcraft and this and that over, you know, these homeopathic things, you know, that's why we don't, you know, we don't need to subscribe to them. And I said, and I'm telling my customer service, I said, look, let's respond to her and let her know this. First of all, lady, let me explain something to you. If you're going to get technical about homeopathic things that are natural elements from herbs and spices and different things from this earth that we are called to actually consume in our body that are more natural things, you know, if you're going to get technical about it, and of course, sometimes I have to play the devil's advocate, you know, and I was telling her, you know, then I'm sure you take antibiotics and medication. Well, guess what? That's from the pharmaceutical industry. And the word pharmacy comes from the word pharmakia. Pharmakia in the Latin, literally, you can, and every one of you right now listening to me, you can actually put in there, in from the Latin word, within your Google search, and it'll pull it up right then and there. And pharmakia literally means witchcraft. It means sorcery. That's the actually the two main words for it. And that's why you see in the pharmaceutical industry the symbol, you see the snake on it. I mean, folks, it, you know, I'm not gonna go crazy about it and say, oh my God, it's all of Satan, because back in the day, that's sort of the type and shadow of what sort of the medical industry, you know, before it became more of a profession, represented. So I'm not going to throw out antibiotics and throw out medication that doctors and people today who are not into sorcery, not into witchcraft, you know, are creating for our bodies, you know, to do things. Now, we know antibiotics are not really good for you because it tears down your immune system. We get all that, do we not? But the truth is, I was trying to play the devil's advocate to her to let her know, lady, if you're more concerned about something that's more natural from the word homeopathic, you know, things that we can take for our bodies that are so much more healthier because there's no side effects, no damaging of the liver, damaging of the kidneys, you know. It's like some of these commercials that say, you know, here is this medication, and if you take it, you know, you could have liver failure. You know, your heart could stop, you know, your kidneys could shut down. You might find yourself vomiting or shaking violently. I mean, you know, you're thinking to yourself, gee, which one do I want worse, you know? And so I was sharing with her, you know, through the email, basically to let her understand these things, that I'm not afraid of these things because the Bible says to the pure, all things are pure. To the defiled, all things are defiled. I mean, sure, is there things in the world that actually are going to be harmful for you? Well, sure, absolutely. And do we consider those things bad? Yeah. It's the opposite of life, more or less, than we say bad versus good. It's the opposite of life. And so when we see that, we have to realize that it's the idea of we can get technical with this stuff and quit using everything because everything comes from a bad word, you know, or we can redefine substances and redefine our lives and say, I'm not eating from your tree of good and evil. I'm not eating from your do's and don'ts. I mean, folks, let's just face it. This is not even what I was going to talk about, but let's just go there for a moment. If you want to get technical about it, you could find occultism tied into Christmas because of what it means and what the tree means. And you can find occultism in the word Easter. I mean, folks, here's the truth. If you're going to be that technical about it, if you're going to be that finding a demon under every rock, you're going to find a demon under every rock. One of the things that we do understand within the spirit realm, especially when we're dealing with the power of attraction and magnetism, from a biblical point of view, or really from a human point of view and a creation point of view, because that's how God has created the entire universe to be that type of attractiveness within our lives, then if we're going to get technical about it, these people are attracting to their lives exactly what they want to attract. And yet the more they attract to their lives, they feel as if, see, it's so relevant and relevant. It's right there. It's right here in front of me. You know, it's so relevant and I find it everywhere I go. And I'm going to say to them, you're right. You do. You find it everywhere you go. And that's why when you hear doom and gloom preachers and pastors and different people who basically tend to look at life and they tend to look at situations and they say, see, here's bad. See, here's evil. Oh, did you know the background that of this tradition that we call Easter? Do you know the background of the pharmaceutical industry? Do you know what Christmas really stands for? And I once about to say, you know what, here's the deal. You've been eating from the wrong tree. Either you've been eating from the wrong tree, you've been snorting some coke, or you've been smoking some marijuana. I mean, I'm going to be very blunt with you because I don't buy into that theology. I don't buy in it at all. In fact, to me, it's a very demonic theology. I'm going to say it right off the bat on this podcast. It's a demonic theology because of the fact that you're attracting the very thing you're attracting to yourself. And if you want to get technical, if you want to get demon under every rock mentality, then that's what you're doing. You are attracting every demon that is true and every demon that you're fabricating within your mind that is becoming your reality. You are attracting every bit of that to yourself. So your world, not my world, but your world will have demon possession in it. Your world will have everything that deals with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in it every single day of your life. And that's why you try to populate your message to everyone else, because you feel your message you're populating is so relevant and it's so out there and it's so everywhere around us. And I want somebody to say, not in my world, it's not. You keep your elements and your vain imaginations and your witchcraft and your sorcery, you keep in your world. But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And where my feet shall trod, God's given it to me. And whatever's in a man's heart is going to come out of me. And whatever I begin to speak out of my mouth, it's going to be life and death. Whatever I decree, it's going to come be established in the earth. So your world might be full of that. My world is full of the goodness and the glory and the good things of God and attracting what in my life, what it is I want to attract in my life. So let's talk about burying your head in the sand here. Which one's burying their head in the sand, folks? Those who don't want to shift the world and bury their head and just say, it's all coming on me, it's all piling up on me, every evil that can be is all around me. You know, those type of people, and then populating a message that's of what they're attracting in their life. No. What I want to do is take my head out of the sand and say, this is my territory, this is my atmosphere, and I say, and I decree, and I think, and I believe, and I go around doing like Jesus did. I go about doing good. And the Bible continues to say, healing all and that are sick and oppressed the devil. I'm going to go about doing good. If you go about doing good, you're going to attract good. That's the kingdom of God. The message is the good news. Now, actually, I didn't even intend to talk about this today on this podcast. See, this is what happens when you're spirit-led. This is what happens when you are so, you know, your mind is so packed full of information and so much packed full of revelation, and you just want to be able to share each and every day that goes on because you're learning something new every day. Well, that's me right now in this podcast. And I also want to share this with you. What I was going to share actually is going to tie in very much to this message. And that is, being relevant within your culture. Being relevant within your culture. And so let's tie that in to what we're talking about right now, okay? Now, if you tend to be the person that's eating from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, and you're finding a devil under every rock, and everything's demonic, and if you want to know the truth about it, now I know some of you charismatics, you know, I know our ministry is huge, it's people love it, and they're running to it because they're seeing the authenticity, they're seeing the reality of what is biblical and what is not biblical, they're seeing how they want the world created according to the kingdom of God, and that's why we're growing so fast. We're advancing so much every day. But I'm going to tell you something. I personally believe, and once again, this is some of my teachings that I've been preaching for years. And do I believe in demonic? Yes. But what I also believe is I also believe a lot of people create their own demonicism. A lot of people create their own demonism. A lot of people create their own evilness. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Which means you create it and you find it or you look for it, you're going to find it. And where you're going to find it, first of all, is in the reality of your brain. And when you do that, you're going to start seeing all these neurons start shooting and creating things all through your body, and you're going to blame it on demons every single day of your life. And that's why people like that, folks, I'm going to tell you, you need to be very cautious about people like that. You need to make sure you're not hanging around anyone that is alluding towards that. If somebody comes to you and say, hey, man, you need to face reality. You need to face what the Word of God says. And you say, you know what? Hey, I probably do more than you. Because what I'm doing is I'm taking the red letters. I'm taking the most important thing right now in my life is the red letters. And then we will add to, outside of the red letters, you know, what it is the Gospels are saying. I tell people this all the time. People say, where do you start reading in the Bible? Where can I start reading in the Bible? What do you suggest? I said, first and foremost, always read the words of Jesus. You know, don't start in some Old Testament. Nobody, I mean, trust me, folks, if you be a people in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you're going to be, before long, these people are going to be smoking some weed, okay? Because of the fact it is hard and complicated for a person that is starting off to understand and believe. And so what you need to do is you need to be able to understand exactly who you feel died for you and what is the love of your life. And if it's Jesus, then you know what? Start off with the red letters. And here's the way I tell people, and I help people to understand the scriptures more, that from that point on, and this is very therapeutic for all of you guys and gals listening to me in this podcast, start off with reading the words of Jesus. Once you start reading everything Jesus said, then everything else in the New Testament, okay, start off that way, and so let it spill over into the New Testament after you read the words of Jesus, and then spill over into, you know, the Old Testament afterwards. But here's what I tell people, is when you start off with the words of Jesus, then you understand that everything you read after the fact, everything you read after the fact has to line up in a way with what he said. So if you read something therefore afterwards, maybe in the Old Testament, and you're like, oh gosh, man, what did God do with these people that killed, you know, or God killed, or God swallowed up, you know, opened the earth and swallowed up these people. Here's what you have to do. Since you have, and since it's ingrained in you the words of Jesus from that moment on, then what you need to do is take the Old Testament and take everything you read in the entire Bible, and you say, but now there's a blank page between that and the words of Jesus. And that blank page is the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. I remember my friend Robert Slaridan years ago, we used to talk all the time, I love the man. Years ago we talked, and one of the things that he brought forth, he said, you know, notice how the Bible is canonized. Notice how there is a white blank page between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And what that's saying is, it doesn't mean, you know, that it basically is a continuation. It's letting you know that everything of that covenant and everything of how you read things and everything how you saw things and everything of how you viewed it from the old now is no longer. I mean, you're hitting the refresh button. Everything is totally becoming new again. So when you read the words of Jesus first, go to the Old Testament, and then everything from that moment say, okay, I can't figure this out. I don't understand exactly what this means because it sounds like God is mean, or it sounds like this is going on or that's going on. Then when you read that, what you need to do from that point on is you need to realize, okay, now since I have ingrained in me the words of Jesus and his words were spirit and life, then that's what you want. You want the words of spirit and life. And then you begin to read the words of his compassion, the grace, you know, my peace I leave with you. Everything that he said then at that moment, if it's something of a negative connotation, okay, in the Old Testament, then you say, well, what did Jesus say? And if Jesus said something that would counteract that in the sense of being positive, or in a sense of being whole, or healing, or loving, then you apply that medication of love to that scripture, and you say, well, that means that scripture for me is null and void. That means that scripture for me is null and void because of the fact I do not have to see a God, or see people, or see that type of attitude anymore, because it has to pass through the blank page. It has to pass through Jesus. And so because it is, guess what? This, my friend, will not apply to me. And that's what you have to do. And then you're going to turn out healthy. Okay? So let's once again take a couple of moments and talk about, you know, being relevant in today's culture. Here's what I would say to each one of us. You live in a culture that actually is powerful. It's potent. It has potentiality. When you hear people tell you, for example, well, you know, it's not like it should, not like it used to be, not like it should be, I say, sure it is. This culture right now is as it should be. Oh no, it needs to change this way and change that way. I said, no, it's as it should be. Everything used to be better back in the day. You know, people ask me even when it deals with politics. And you know what? If you're going to tune out this podcast because of what I say, because it's truth, and you're going to bury your head in the sand about our president or about politics or anything else, then you have a very shallow life. I'll just be honest with you. Even though I love you, you have a very shallow life, because life is not based for me on who I vote for. Life is not based for me on what I believe. I state the facts in the sense of what my opinions are, so they're my facts, and I state the things I believe line up biblically. So it doesn't matter if it's for a Democrat or for a Republican. Whatever I believe is biblical, I'm just going to speak that. If it's helpful and conducive to all humanity, notice I said all, A-L-L, if it's conducive to all humanity, then we're going to go that route. If it excludes anyone, if it takes anyone out of the equation or anything and makes somebody lesser than somebody else, you know what, then I'm not voting for them. That's just a known fact. And so when I said all that to say this, that when you're looking at being relevant and people say, for example, you know, like he's going to make America great again. I once about to say, well, hold on a minute. I thought America was great now. You know, and then people, and if you notice when you say that, people begin to, you know, just sort of dissect it all and say, oh, heavens forbid, you've got this going on and that going on and this going on. And I said, well, my heavens and earth are filled with righteousness according to the book of Revelation. So this heaven, this earth, which is my body, which is my sphere of influence, which is the atmosphere in which I live in, that's filled with righteousness. So I don't know what world you live in, but my world is fine. My world actually is always growing, expanding, being filled with the glory of God. And the truth of the matter is, I'm not looking for a present or government to change my atmosphere. That's my job, not theirs. And so my job is to go about doing good. Okay? And that's why I tell people all the time, that's why Jesus never spoke on the issues that we're speaking on, because there's a higher law of the tree of life. There's a higher vibration, and it deals with life. And when you want to talk life, we'll talk life. When you talk about namby-pamby things of good and bad about what's going on in America, I cut you off because you're eating from the wrong tree. And you might say, well, but you've got to face reality. I am facing reality. If I believe in what I believe in, which is the tree of life, in which God, from the very beginning of human time, called us to eat from, then I'm going to stick with that, what the scriptures say. I'm going to stick with what Jesus said. The words I speak are spirit and life. I'm going to stick with everything that that example and what he demonstrated for me to be. Nothing more, nothing less. That's my job. That's what I'm called to do. And so I don't look at life and say, oh, it's bad now, it's good now. No, it is as it should be. Now, you might say, well, how can you say that? I know some of you right now are so aggravated at me right now. How can you say that? Because of simple fact, folks, I would say it if it was a Democrat. I don't care. I would say it no matter what it is, because it doesn't matter. You can say it if you want to talk about good and bad. There's good in both and there's bad in both. I don't stick my head in the sand and say, oh, they're bad and while the party's all good. And then you're brainwashed. Because you're dealing with a system that is a system. And the system is always corrupt, period. Now, I'm not saying that in a negative way. I'm just saying when you get human people together who love money, who love power and fame and fortune, then you're going to get a system that will always be corrupt. That's just how life is. And we're here to change society by changing ourselves first, changing how we think. And so I said all that to say this, when you're dealing with culture, that we are relevant. We are relevant in this culture by being this way, by being the light, being love, being grace, being compassion, being peace. If we want to see change, we got to be that change in the earth. We can't expect anyone else to bring change unless we bring the change. And the change that we're needing is the evolving of ourselves, beginning to evolve more into what we know we're called to do and be. That's why we take care of the plank in our own eye before we take care of the plank out of anyone else's eye. And so I'm not here to look for a savior on earth to change, to save America, to save the world. No, I'm looking for a kingdom that is not from this world, and that kingdom lives inside of me, and that kingdom says, think how I think, and you'll manifest what it is that you know the change should look like and change should be. If those who are looking for a savior to do that, and people might say, well, I know, but he sure does help out. No, not really. Not really. No one man can ever do anything. It takes a community. It's like what the old saying, it takes a community to raise children. Doesn't take one or two people, it takes a community. And knowing that it takes the world, it takes everyone to participate within their own recovery. It takes everyone to begin to participate in this thing that we call humanity. It takes everyone to begin to participate of those who are in Christ's mind in the church. It takes everyone. And knowing that it's about no one lesser than or greater than, because we're all equal in the kingdom. And when you understand that concept, and you understand that if you want to change your world, it'd be more relevant in the culture. Because God puts you in this culture for a reason. And knowing that God placed you in this culture for a reason, that means this culture was placed here because God knew you would grow and evolve and expand and help change things in your life by you being. By you being what it is that God will reveal to you that you should be in this world. And when you begin to do that, then you get your eyes off of some president and some government and everything else, and you'll quit exalting people, you know, and you'll quit looking for saviors. You'll realize that the savior is working in every one of us. And knowing that, we have to come to that place where we are understanding that this culture is as it should be right now because of the fact I was born. And if I'm born in this culture, God loved me enough to place me in this time frame because he knew I could make a change by being the change. We've had too many people, folks, throughout history. We can look at the Catholic Church. Now, I like Catholics, don't get me wrong, but I'm talking the old Catholic Church. You know, way back in the day when they persecuted Christians, hated Christians, and they burned them at the stake or they got rid of them. Whatever it is they did, they put them in prison, whatever, because they wanted the entire system of Catholicism to be the power. And knowing that, guess what? It worked during that time frame until that system began to be corrupt and it began to finally, and the powers that be began to fall out of their power. And before long, you realize that Martin Luther comes on the scene and changes the whole system. So the systematic way of living changed and it was eradicated into something totally advanced and something new that could be for all people instead of, and to people to believe what they want to believe, and people begin to seek out their own spiritual walk and their own way of believing, and that actually is more helpful and beneficial because we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, not a patriarch to work it out for us, nor a president. And through that we begin to understand that if you want to make a change, then you have to understand that I'm born in this culture obviously for a reason, and this culture is here because God knew that this culture would help make me, and I would help make the culture. And there's nothing wrong with saying the culture can help make you. In other words, you're here by your perception and to perceive everything around you, to understand what you need in your life, what you can take from it that'll make you more relevant to society and to the culture, and to hopefully maybe leave a legacy for another generation to come on board to say, hey, look, be relevant in your culture that you live in. Respect your culture. Love it. And understand that through all of that, you're here to evolve into something amazing. And as you evolve into something amazing and be what God wants you to be, then systems that are around you will begin to crumble or change. And people around you will begin to say, you know what, I love your attitude. And they'll begin to get pregnant with your attitude. And the truth is, folks, smiles are infectious. Smiles, you know, are contagious. And understanding that, that's what we're called to be. That's what Christ wanted us to be. And that's why when Christ walked the earth, he never put forth rallies. He never said anything evil against the government. He just knew that he knew I have a higher purpose and a higher call. And when each one of us begin to ascend in the heavens and take our place in the heavenly realms and begin to be what God wants us to be in our own sphere of influence, then you know what? Society will begin to adapt to a new way of thinking. And society will begin to adapt to a higher place in God. But the days of rallying and the days of fighting and screaming and I'm taking you down and this party's corrupt and this party's not, I want somebody to say, you know what, you're fooled already. You're completely fooled already if you think that, because you're going by the elements of this world. And I don't. I go by the elements of the good news, the gospel. And the good news is, live out that good news. Go about doing good to the humanity, healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. Those around you that need a touch, touch them. Those that need a hug, hug them. Those that need a, you know, kiss on the cheek, hey, go for it, you know. People need love. And as you begin to give love, and because you've become love, then guess what? Everything will begin to change the way it needs to change, as opposed to you implementing how it should change. Hello, can you hear that? And let me tell you why, and I'll close with this. When you learn to trust the Holy Spirit, and you learn to trust God, and you trust that God knows what's going on, and God knows what He's doing, when you trust that, then you'll start being, and you'll quit so much doing your own theology to make everybody change to your own belief. And contrary to popular belief, folks, sometimes people read one scripture and another person can read the same scripture and get something totally different out of it. It's because people are different and people need to express that diversity because it's where they are in their life and it's how the Holy Spirit is dealing with them. And that's a place where you come into true respect for the kingdom, true respect for the Lord, and especially true respect for the precious Holy Spirit. And when we begin to do that, then you know what? We won't have to be like the Catholic Church that used to be. We won't have to implement some kind of dictator, you know, in politics to demand this is how it's going to be. No, we begin to be the Christ in the earth. And change will automatically occur. And it opens up the door for the Holy Spirit to come in and say, now then, now let me come in and begin to do both the will of good, will and do of my good pleasure. And begin to change people where they are and how they need to be and how they need to be expressive and see how they need to see through their perception. That's what's more important to me than anything, is not being the Holy Spirit, but letting the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit is so good at doing. And me just being, and me just speaking, in the sense of speaking love and kindness and compassion. And there are, therefore, I'll be more relevant to this culture than anything. And change is inevitably, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. Whether we like it or not, it's going to happen. It's either going to happen for those who demand change, and it's going to happen in a negative way, or it's going to happen in a positive way when we begin to say, you know what? I'm here to be. I'm here to love. I'm here to thank goodness. And I'm here to attract amazing good things in my life. And I'm here to pray for the best in people's lives. I'm here to give and watch it be given back to me. I'm here to know that if I do it to somebody else and bless somebody else with food or pay it forward to someone else, I've done it unto Him. And when you do the highest principles in the entire kingdom of God, which is that of Christ Jesus, when you do that, folks, guess what? The world will begin to change. Hey, thank you so much for joining in today's podcast. I also want to tell you something. I put out a brand new, very radical series just recently that I believe will be a big paradigm shifter for you, paradigm shifter in your life. And it's called Destroying the Power. And I love the series. It's really, really good. Destroying the Power of Stagnicity and Non-Productivity. Destroying the Power of Stagnicity and Non-Productivity. So if you're stagnant and you see things not budging and moving in your life, go to identitynetwork.net and you'll see it on the homepage of Destroying the Power of Stagnicity and Non-Productivity. And in that series, I will teach you how to break all the things in your life that are not budging. How to move the boulders out of your life and get the ball rolling for you. So God bless each and every one of you. Oh, and by the way, real quick, let me give you the phone number here at the office if you want to order that series. The office number is 205-362-7133. That's 205-362-7133. Once again, it's called Destroying the Power of Stagnicity and Non-Productivity. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.